Greetings in the Savior's most worthy name. A recent report tells us that some 180,000 people die every day. Christian friend, what are you doing to tell them of the Christ who died to provide eternal salvation? Unsaved friend, suppose that today you're among those 180,000 who pass into eternity. Without Christ, you have no hope for all eternity. Let us pray. Our God and Father, in that precious and adorable name, the name of the Christ of the living God, through Him we approach Your throne and intercede in behalf of those listening today. Lord, may those of us who are Your children, Christians, sinners, saved by the grace of God, view this world with compassion and see men and women as those who are dying without God, without Christ, without a knowledge of salvation, and totally commit ourselves to making Him known to those who know not the Redeemer. And Father, may those listening today who have never experienced the new birth, who have never been saved by the grace of God, may this be their very moment of decision when from sin, from self-sickness, they turn to Christ the great physician, trust Him as Lord and Redeemer, and possess eternal life by the grace of God and on the authority of His precious word, because we simply ask it of You, Heavenly Father, in the name of Your Son and our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is true, the Lord Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. He could have spared Himself the agony, the shame, the humiliation, even the sin and the soul suffering that took place on Calvary. A beloved friend of mine, He did not call 10,000 angels. He chose to die, to bleed, to suffer, alone, on the cross, for you and for me. Why did He do it? The simplest answer I can give is found in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish or be lost in eternal hell forever, but would have eternal everlasting life. Yes, He loved the world. But in recent weeks, we have been considering something else that He loved. And from Ephesians 5, we read that Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, loved the church and gave Himself for it. So often we've pointed out that this is not a structure that He loved, not this building upon a corner. It's not a system or an organization or even a denomination. But the church that Jesus Christ loved and poured out His life for is that body of believers, the church of the living God. That body that He calls a building, that He calls a bride. It's this that He died for. It's this that He loved and gave Himself for. Not only did He love it, not only did He leave with it the Holy Spirit to comfort, to guide, to instruct, and to teach, but He saw that it would need shepherds, and so He left shepherds, elders, the Bible calls them, that they might feed the flock, that they might nourish the flock, that they might have a godly concern for those sheep that belong to the Lord Jesus. He did call us sheep. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and so on. Not only did He leave shepherds, we have been considering, too, that He left evangelists. Now, evangelists are used to preach the gospel and add others who are lost in sin to this flock, to this building, to this bride, to this body that He loved and gave Himself for. An evangelist is one who shares Christ through the preaching of the glad tidings. Christ died for the sins of the world. He also left pastors, those, again, with a godly concern, those who are seeking to minister to the flock and to see that their spiritual requirements are met. And then also He left teachers, those capable, gifted men of God, capable of taking the Word of God and unfolding those passages and truths and deep things that we might understand them. Yes, He was concerned for the flock, for His church, for His body, for His building, for His bride, for His children that He would leave in this sin-cursed world. But last week we touched in closing upon something else that He did for the church. in the church, he talks about Christians being priests. He talks about the priesthood of all believers. In a moment, we'll read two passages that refer to Christians, his children, as being a holy priest and a royal priest. I remember a number of years ago, some of us were downtown preaching on the street corner, seeking to share the living Christ with dead men, seeking to bring men who were dead in trespasses and sin into a living, vital relationship with the eternal Lamb of the living God. There were some hecklers who came by, a couple of young fellows. And while one of our men was preaching, I went over and began to talk to them, mainly to quiet them down that others might not be disturbed from hearing this glad tidings, this good news that Christ died for sinners. And they wanted to know first, who are you? We're Christians. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. Well, why are you preaching on the street corner? Why don't you preach in churches like other folks do? I said, we do that. But also, there are many people who will not come into the church buildings, and we find it necessary to reach people on the street that we go where they are. Just as a fisherman doesn't fish in the bathtub, he goes to the lakes, the rivers, the streams where the fish are. We must go where the people are to share with them the good news that Christ loved them and died for them. So they continued to ask questions and rib us. And they said, well, in our church affiliation, only the priests have a right to preach to the people. And so I startled these young men by saying, well, we're priests. I'm a priest. They sort of stepped back and looked at me, looked up and down, and implied that I didn't look the part of a priest. My conventional street clothes were not those that would single me out as a priest of God. Well, I had to point out to those young men that clothes don't make a man. I could put on a uniform of the general of the United States Army or an admiral of the Navy. That certainly didn't confer the rank and the privileges of such an officer. I'd only be an impostor. And so just as clothes do not make me a military man, clothes neither do they make me a priest. There is only one type of clothing that qualifies us to be a priest of God. We read about it in Isaiah's writings, 61 and 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. Yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ imputes to us, Romans chapter 4, his righteousness. And he gives us the requirements for being a holy priest, a royal priest of God. He clothes us in his own righteousness, the righteousness of God. Man in himself is unrighteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth right. There's none that seeketh God, for all have sinned. And yet, the moment we come as guilty, hell-deserving sinners, he saves us by his own blood. He adds us to his body, the church. He calls us saints. He declares us to be priests, holy priests, royal priests. These young men went on to tell me that it took years of education to become a priest. But I said, no, it takes only a moment to reflect upon your sinful past, a moment to reflect upon the futility of the present and the hopelessness of the future, time to acknowledge your sin and your guilt and in faith turn to the living Christ, Jesus, the great high priest. And he will, at that moment, cause us by his blood to pass from death unto life. Our sins are forgiven. He clothes us in that robe of righteousness. And he causes us to possess eternal life and have the assurance from the Word of God that he who has the Lord Jesus has eternal life. Yes, God says you're a priest, a holy priest, and a royal priest. From 2 and 5 of 1 Peter, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. And from verse 9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, as holy priests, we are those who have the right to go into God, worshiping him and praising him, loving him. And as a royal priest, we go out from God to the people, declaring his work, his name, his salvation. Friend of mine, if you're saved, you're a priest of God. Worship him. Serve him as such. Unsaved friend, if you're out of Christ, you're lost forever. Become a priest of God today through the new birth and he will add you to his body, the church, and clothe you in a robe of righteousness, as by the grace of God you are born again for his own glory. May the Lord bless you.